So now we'll go to verse number 7, which is also a very beautiful verse, which tells us what is the benefit of getting this knowledge. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma.
Yoga yukto vishuddhatma.
Vijitatma jitendriyah.
Vijitatma jitendriyah.
Sarva bhutatma bhutatma.
Sarva bhutatma bhutatma.
Kurvannapi na lipyate.
Kurvannapi na lipyate.
Together, yoga yukto vishuddhatma. Vijitatma jitendriyah. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. Kurvannapi na lipyate. This is a very, very beautiful stepwise. It's like the teacher, the Lord Himself, has given us stepwise how we can go from one to the other, 3, 4, 5, and reach the highest. Just as we take multiple steps and finally reach the top of the ladder. So here also 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps are given to reach the highest. It's a very systematic method of teaching. So yoga yuktaha. So yoga yukta means one who is endowed with karma yoga. So the first step is service, karma yoga, working unselfishly. Then vishuddha atma. Vishuddha atma is purity of mind, where the mind is pure. Now Bhagavan, in this Bhagavad Gita, he uses atma everywhere. And it is for us to figure out what he is talking about. Now here, first atma is about, he says mind, purity of mind. Then vijitatma is where he has controlled his body. So he uses atma for body. That's the beauty of Sanskrit. The same word can have multiple meanings, and you have to, from the context, understand what the teacher is saying. So vishuddhatma is purity of mind, and vijitatma is controlling the body and the mind, and jitendriyaha, and jitendriyaha means controlling the senses. So we have to control the body, control the mind, control the senses. Control does not mean don't do anything, don't see, hear, smell, taste, touch, don't eat, enjoy, no. But living a life of moderation and relative stability. So when a person is doing service, purifying his mind, controlled his body, and controlled his senses, then what happens? Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. Then he sees his self in all, everybody. Everybody is me. So that oneness, sarva bhuta, in all beings, when he sees myself, or sees himself or herself in everybody, kurvan api na lipyate, even when he or she is working, kurvan api, working in the world, na lipyate, does not get contaminated, does not get bound, remains pure. And this we'll talk in more detail next week, how this wise person does not get contaminated while working. It's a lot more, this is a beautiful example, which we'll do next week. So, person who has these qualities, service, purity of mind, self-control, controlled his senses, sees himself in all, never gets contaminated. His actions always remain untouched by any impurities in the world. So, the first step is karma yoga, yoga yukto. And we have talked a lot about it, so I won't go into detail, but yoga means come from yuj, united. So his karma, his actions are united with the higher, with the attitude of service, serving the Lord. And purity of mind. Now what is purity of mind? They say a pure mind is a mind that's not agitated. When my mind is agitated, when my mind is disturbed, then that's said to be an impure mind. Well, a mind that is quiet and peaceful is said to be a pure mind. How can I make my mind quiet and peaceful? People say, I sit and my mind runs and I get all these thoughts. Why do the thoughts arise? Because of too much desires, too many vasanas. and then I want it, and then I don't get it, and if I don't get it, I get angry because of the person who didn't let me get it, or if I get more, then I become very proud and arrogant. So I compete with the world. We're not saying that one should not compete, but then constantly just wanting for myself leads to agitation. So when I reduce my desire, that's what they say, live in the minimum, create the maximum. Gurudev used to say, live in the minimum, create the maximum, give the entire thing to the world outside. So I keep the minimum what I need, but I continue to work, create the maximum, but then give it to the world. Do not just keep it for myself. If I have earned it, I have earned it because of the help of so many people. So it is my duty to give back. So that what you do. Vishuddhatma. So you purify your mind. And one of the best ways to purify mind is japa, or chanting the name of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what name of the Lord you pick. It can be Om, it can be Father in Heaven, it can be Om Namah Shivaya, Sri Krishna, Sharanam Mama. But at every occasion, chant the name of the Lord. Especially, they say the best time to chant is when you lie down to sleep. So just before you have fallen asleep, what we do is we try to go over the day's event, which you can do. But then after a while, you say, okay, now I'm done. Now I'm ready to sleep. And just in that, before you have fallen asleep, start chanting the name of the Lord. As you lie down, relax your body and close your eyes and then observe your breath and then start chanting the name of the Lord. And what you will find is that this period between you have started to fall asleep and fallen asleep, that brief period of few minutes, is the best time to chant, because then that name goes in your subconscious mind. And then throughout the night, it plays like a tape recorder. Just as a tape recorder keeps on playing, so that the holy name of the Lord keeps on playing in your mind all night. So definitely one should do before, but at every time, you know, after you have taken a shower, thank you God for this beautiful, warm, plentiful water. I know I've said that before, but it's such a beautiful time, because where else when you get this, like this beautiful rain we have had. So constantly remember the Lord. You see a flowers, you see walking down, and nowadays you'll see a lot of spring flowers, wild flowers, as we go on the grapevine. Remember who has created. So chanting the name of the Lord makes our mind quiet and peaceful, and reducing our vasanas. So that is a beautiful time. And then self-control, as we said, control does not mean I don't do anything, but I live a life of moderation. Moderation in enjoyment, moderation in speech, not talking too much, not indulging too much, and not even too much of agitation of the mind. So controlling the mind, controlling the body, controlling the speech. And what that will do, then it will become very easy to control the senses. Because why do I want to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, eat, want? Why? Because I have so many desires. As I reduce the desires, then you say, if I don't see the Great Wall of China, it's okay. And it's all right. It's fine. All traveling is the same everywhere. You know, just stay home and spend time with your spiritual growth. Otherwise, people say, this country, that. I mean, traveling is good. I'm not saying that it increases your general knowledge. But after a while, you come to a stage where it's okay. If I don't go, it is fine. I don't need to go to the mall to buy another dress. I have enough clothes. I have enough jewelry. I have enough. So then one develops contentment, santosha, you know, santushta satatam yogi, Bhagavan Krishna says in the 12th chapter, a yogi is ever content. Content. Content does not mean you don't work, but I don't need anything more for myself. Whatever I have, let me share with the world. And may I serve the world. Only then meditation will be fruitful. We're not saying that you wait till you have reached that stage of complete contentment before you start meditation. But meditation will become better and more fruitful when you give up this karta and bhokta. What is karta? Karta is doer, bhokta is enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So I am doing it for myself. So more and more I should say I am that self, I am this divine Atma, this consciousness, and I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, and we'll talk more about this next week. Next week the whole talk is devoted towards who I am and how does this wise person function in the world. And he says, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, Sarva Bhuta. In Sanskrit they say, Brahma Sthamba Paryantam, means from the creator Brahmaji to the blade of grass, those are all the beings. And they are all me. See that ability to see that everything is me. And creation is not only from the creator to the blade of grass, but all the worlds, all the heavens, all the hells. You know, we say there are 14 worlds, Chaudhe Lok. In all the 14 worlds, that one consciousness resides, and that same consciousness is me. So the ability to see oneness in everything, that everything is me, everything. So that ability, right now we see a lot of differences. You know, this is mine, that is not mine. He's my friend, she's my enemy, I like this, I dislike this. And such a person, na lipyate, is not contaminated. People say, I would rather be lipyate. I would rather be, why go through all this? First I have to do service, then I have to control the mind, then I have to control the senses. And better is chodo ye sab, you know, why I am wasting my time. But then your condition will become like Arjuna. How he was confused and agitated and crying and miserable. If you want freedom from sorrow, that is the only way. The only path is spirituality. No other, nothing else will give you freedom. Sooner or later, no matter how much money you have, how many properties you have, how much power you have, you might be CEO of the biggest company. But sooner or later, your life will lead you to sorrow. The only way for freedom from sorrow is with this knowledge. Once you know I am that and abide in that, then nothing in the world can touch you. Then you become fearless. What am I afraid of? I am afraid of something I am not. Is anybody afraid of himself? No, I'm not afraid of myself. I'm not, my own hand doesn't slap me, nor somebody else can. But if I see this whole universe as me, as my body, then who am I to be afraid of? So the true fearlessness and true universal love and universal compassion only comes from seeing the unity. But it is when we see disunity, then, so what is lipyate? Lipyate is to be contaminated. So when I do actions that are unselfish, that I don't get anything out of, then I did my best. I am God's servant. Now, whatever success is yours, whatever failure is yours. It does not mean I don't work hard or to succeed, but ultimately you say everything, tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. You know, we always say that, Om Jai Jagdishwar. So, oh Lord, everything belongs to you, including this body, mind and intellect. Everything is yours. So I see God everywhere. That's number one, that God is in every being. And there is no question of whether he's Hindu or Muslim or Christian or Jewish. Everybody is that one God, that one divinity. So you see the oneness. And at the same time, you are not perturbed by success or failure. I did my best. God, you gave me the energy. If I am successful, I give you the credit. If I failed, then maybe I didn't do a good enough job. So I have to put in enough effort. But I don't become disheartened. You say, I did my best. And ultimately, God, it is in your hands. You know, I can only take the medicine. I cannot heal. Only God can heal. If I am truly sick, I heard somebody say that yesterday. She said, God, I take the medicine. Krishna, now it is your job to heal me. I can go to the doctor and take the medicine, but healing can only be done by God. So that is the thing, that I put in my best effort. Ultimately, the results, I leave it to God. So one who can do that and one who follows all these steps, follow the path of service, purify his mind, make it quiet and peaceful, self-controlled, senses under control, serves the Lord without I or my, then kurvan api na lipyate, then he is no longer contaminated. There is no doership, there is no enjoyership. The Lord alone is everything. And I am that. And that one has to, again, you know, I have said that many times because actually I have been hearing it since 1990, you are that. I don't think still I have understood it. So repeating is very important, repetition that I am that, because how many, you know, 28 years we have been studying this. It takes a while for this knowledge to truly sink in. It does not mean that nothing will happen for 28 years. Yes, gradually, it's like the river, you know, as it water goes slowly, 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 it made the Grand Canyon, you know, just the river. So slowly this repeated knowledge will make a groove in our brain where this knowledge will become firm. So that is the essence of these two verses. What is the benefit? That you realize that you are that immortal self, and then you work in the world like great masters did. So that is the essence, and that is the goal of life, and that is the benefit of this knowledge. So I have a few minutes if somebody has any questions or comments. And as we said, next week we'll talk about how wise people function in the world. We might say, I am not that wise, I am unwise. Yes, but with this wisdom, we can also become wise with this knowledge. So we'll talk about that next week. Any questions or comments? Yes.
To what degree was Mahatma Gandhi, was he awakened very early in his life?
I don't know about very early in his life, but later on, it was a gradual process. Even he went to South Africa when he was thrown off the train, and then he realized, you know, that I have to fight for the liberation, you know, for first of all of people of color, and then ultimately for the nation. So I don't know at what stage it's hard for another person to judge when he was awakened, but it's a gradual process. But yeah, sure, by the end he was highly evolved. So, but it happened gradually as he got more and more involved, and he saw everybody as Harijan. See, he said they're all children of God. Even people who were of the low caste, people who were considered untouchables. So that is the sign of a highly evolved soul. So at what stage? It's hard for a other person to judge. Only he himself knows. But from his actions, you can tell. That I think it was a gradual process, because when he went to become a lawyer, he wanted to make a lot of money. And he went to London to study, and when he went to South Africa. But then when he was thrown off the train, and then it suddenly awakened something in him that this is wrong. And then he came back to India and then decided to fight for the freedom of the country. And then also awaken the people to the injustice and see God in all. So, yeah, it.
But when he was young, he was involved more in the worldly pleasures.
Yes.
And then he was more attached to...
Right.
He was like a normal person, like you and me.
Right.
Or more. Like.
But it doesn't matter on when you are realized, isn't it? Any time in your life.
Right, right.
It is what it is.
Exactly. That's what she says. It doesn't matter when you realize. If you have reached that goal, then that's wonderful. And that is the goal of human birth, to reach that whenever you do. You know, we find some in our scripture, some people at age 6 or 7 were highly evolved, already writing commentaries, like Shankaracharya and Raman Maharishi and all some are by, and like Gyaneshwar at age 15, he was writing commentaries. So, and there are others who do it at a later age. So it again depends on your abilities, yes. And depend, at least now we have this knowledge, so now there's no excuse. Right. So for us, it is more important that what am I going to do with this knowledge? But that's a good question, thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about karma and its effects on our lives?
Okay. Karma means action. And we have to act. You know, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, he says, Sharir yatra pichate na prasiddhyeta karmana. Without action, you cannot live. Even to get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee, that's an action. I have to go make coffee. Even if I have a servant who makes coffee for me, I still have to drink it. I still have to take a shower. I have to do all those things. So karma is necessary. And then I have to go out and earn a living or work or whatever. But karma every karma has its result. Every action has its result. If I do good karmas, I get good result. If I do bad karmas, I get bad result. And we know that. We tell our children, if you study, you will do good in school. If you don't study, you're not going to go to college. You're not going to get admission into a good university. So karma happens in everybody's life. What we say that karmas are not only results may come in this lifetime, may not. 90% of what you have done, you will get the result in this lifetime itself. But some actions may not, like we find some people are really bad and they, like some of these mass murderers, they have killed a lot of people. And then before the police can capture them, they kill themselves. And they say, oh, he didn't suffer for the consequences of his action. He got away easy. No, he didn't. Because there is a divine law that whatever actions I have committed, I have to suffer the consequence. If not in this lifetime, it will carry to next lifetime. Because the body perishes, but the mind and intellect, the subtle body, is the one that after dropping the body goes to either heaven or hell, which, you know, we say, who goes to heaven? You know, it's not the body doesn't go, but it's the individual, the mind and intellect. And after going through heaven or hell, suffering, then we say there is rebirth, at the time of the next birth, if you have done good actions, you will be born in a good family. If you have done bad actions, you could be born with a horrible body or have mental issues or, you know, have, maybe we find little children get cancer, leukemia at age, 6 months. Now, what karma has that child done at age, 6 months or 9 months to get leukemia? Then we explain it on previous birth. That in his previous lifetime, this individual must have done karmas. So every karma is recorded. And where it is recorded? In ourselves. It's not somebody sitting up there and making notes, oh, this guy has done this. In my own subtle body, it's like a little microchip God has placed. And every action gets recorded in my own self, nobody else. Nobody else is recording. And based on that, I get the results. And if I have cheated somebody or hurt somebody, then in the next lifetime or in this lifetime itself, I'll have to pay back. And so the best is to try to do the least to hurt anybody and be as much as possible honest and straightforward in your dealings, as much as you can. So karma can become karma yoga when it is dedicated to the higher. So karma, the law of karma is absolutely infallible. You know, one for one. There is no question. No action goes unpunished. Bad actions and no good action goes unrewarded. Say, oh, I worked so hard, I did so much, and God does not listen to me. God is listening to everything. God is within us. So karma is absolutely 100%. The law of karma applies totally. Nobody can escape that. And we say that it gets carried over if you have not gone through. So that's why we say we have a load of karmas from our past life called Sanchit Karma, which I have done in my past life. Then in this life, some of those karmas I have to undergo. And then based on these actions, my future karmas, if I've done good, then it's like in a bank account. You know, you have certain amount of money and you invest it. If you do well, then the money goes up. But if you invest it badly, the money goes down. So same with this, karma is like a bank where I have certain amount from my past life. And then my choice is whether to invest well in this life and make it better or make it worse. So actions which are purifying will improve my karmic balance. So if you understand as a bank account, that is the best way. And it's my job whether to add to this bank account or take away from this account. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. In fact, the whole third chapter talks about karma and karma yoga. So please read that. You can buy the books in the office with the commentary. Can somebody show the green book? Yeah, just raise it. These are available in the office. There's 18 volumes which have all the 18 chapters. And you can buy that. And in the third chapter, whole thing is on karma, which we did about last year, a year before last. So right now we are in the fifth chapter.
Or Nidhi Dhyasana, where does prayer end and contemplation or meditation begin?
I think difference between prayer and meditation is, in prayer I talk to God, in meditation God talks to me. See, when my mind is still in meditation, when my mind is still, then I connect with the divine. So that is meditation, where I experience the oneness. So the idea is to quieten the mind, not to make the mind zero. The mind was not going to become zero. The mind will keep on moving, but the ability to reduce the thoughts and become a witness. And how do you become a witness? By identifying with Om, the witness of the mind. And that is who I am. So that is the essence of meditation. The sixth chapter, which will come to the whole thing, is on meditation. There are talks that I have given on meditation. If you go to firstpower.info, there are several talks. And we also have some guided meditations if you're interested in listening to that. Of course, meditation now, the whole world is, if you go to YouTube, you'll find thousands of videos on meditation. So meditation has become a fashionable topic. Everybody wants to meditate. But what am I meditating on? See, most of these paths will help you to quieten your mind, but only Vedanta will take you to who I am. That is the culmination of meditation. Most of these, you know, listening to music and chanting the mantra, these are all very good, you know, listening to sound waves and then all those breathing, you know, this pranayama and all these, those are all very good. They all help to quieten the mind. But now with the quiet mind, what do I do? That only the Vedanta will tell you. So that is, Vedanta takes you one step further.
So why did, I didn't understand, why did Bhagavad Gita start with Duryodhana Uvacha? First verse is Dhritarashtra Uvacha,
Dhritarashtra
Uvacha.
Well, because that's how the teaching start, because Dhritarashtra says that what did my children do, and then Sanjaya tells him that what is happening, and then the whole teaching happens. Also, it is because mama dharma, so the last word in Bhagavad Gita is dharma, and here he says mama, so mama dharma, what is my duty? So the first word of Bhagavad Gita is mama, mama kshetre, kuru kshetre. And the last word is dharma, you know, so mama dharma, my duty. So if you want to combine the whole 18 chapters, 700 verses, it is what is my duty. So first word and last word. I think just to lay the scene of the battle, what is happening. It's like a playwright, you know, he makes the scene, okay, now it was night time, and then it was very silent, and the wind was rustling, and then slowly you heard a, you know, like how they scare you in horror movies, they create the scene, so same way.
Curiosity.
Yes, yes. So we'll see you next week, and we'll talk about Man of Wisdom, how they work in the world. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo, Hari Om.